What age were you in 1953 when Elizabeth became our queen? I was age 5, living in North London. And my dad bought a TV so we could watch the Queen's coronation. It only had one channel, BBC. And black and white. And the television programs finished at midnight. No 24 hours telly. And I remember the first ITV programs starting. So we watched the Queen's coronation. As a 5-year-old, I was very excited all about it. I couldn't stop talking about it for days on end. And I had a picture above my bed of the Queen. I remember the street party in a very narrow street in Finsbury Park, celebrating the Queen's coronation. So we thank God for the 70-year reign of Queen Elizabeth. In our Christmas Day message, last Christmas, 2021, she said this. She spoke of Jesus as a man whose teachings have been handed down from generation to generation and have been the bedrock of my faith. Thank God for a queen who speaks of the teaching of Jesus as the bedrock of her faith. So Her Majesty depends on a greater monarch than herself, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Queen is age 96, and an apostle who may have been in his 90s wrote the last book of the Bible, John, and in the book of Revelation he wrote this, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Revelation 17:14. Then in Revelation 19:16, he says, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And it's quite clear if you read those chapters that he is talking of the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings. No greater king, queen, monarch, leader, president, no one greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to speak then about Jesus the King. As we think about Queen Elizabeth, I want to speak about Jesus the King. I'm going to compare and contrast Queen Elizabeth with King Jesus. The first thing is this, that Queen Elizabeth was born. And I looked this up. She was born in Mayfair, 21st of April, 1926, the daughter of the Duke and Duchess of York, later King George VI and Queen Elizabeth. So she was born. There was a starting point of her life. She had no existence before she was born in Mayfair. But the Lord Jesus is uncreated as God. He was never born. He was always there. I've been studying John's Gospel in some depth these last 2 years. And how does John's Gospel begin? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And it's clear that the Word is Jesus. He was with God. He was God. Like God, he was uncreated. He was always there. We use words to speak. God's word is a person. God speaks in a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. And that links with Hebrews chapter 1. And the opening 2 verses. Long ago at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. The last days are the days we're in. From the first coming of Christ to his second, In the Bible, that's the last days. And in these last days, in this time, God has spoken through his Son. John 1 and Hebrews 1 tell us that Jesus worked with his Father in creation. God created the world through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing exists without God and Christ creating it. And we read in Hebrews 1 that he upholds the whole of creation. So Elizabeth was born. God, Jesus, God's Son, was never born. It's true, he was born at Bethlehem when he took our human nature, that he might body and nature, that he might die for us. But he's God, always there, uncreated, before ever there was a world. Father, Son, Spirit were there in heaven. How amazing. And that's the one whom we worship, the one whom we adore. And this writer is saying, look, think of Jesus. He is uncreated. Can you go away from him who was always there and greater than anyone? How could you ever leave such a Savior and such a God? You may recall at the Last Supper, Jesus with his disciples, within hours of his death, he's talking to his disciples, and Philip says, show us the Father. Jesus says, have I been so long with you? Have you not realized that I am God? He said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Can't you see? Look at me, you see God. Jesus is God, absolutely God. That's what verse 3 of Hebrews 1 tells us. He, that's Christ, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. What is that saying? It's a profound verse. But what is it saying? It is saying that Jesus is absolutely God. Everything that you can say about God the Father is true of God the Son. He is God, uncreated, always there. This is the one we should worship, the one we should adore. So first, Queen Elizabeth was born. Jesus as God, the King, was never born. The second thing is that Queen Elizabeth, now 96, will one day die. She's reigned 70 years. But even our Queen will one day have to die. And she's becoming more frail. She became Queen after the death of her father, George VI, on the 6th of February, 1952. At the time, she was in Kenya. Her husband, Prince Philip, died 9th of April, 2021. And we all remember, don't we, Elizabeth the Queen Mother, who died on the 30th of March, 2002, at the age of 101. Will our present Queen live to be 100? Well, just it's possible, isn't it? She seems to have long life in her blood. Seems to be in the blood of the Windsors. But however long she lives, death will come. And death is inevitable for us all. However long we live, we can say with absolute certainty that one day you're going to die. If the Lord does not come first, we're going to have to die. But what about King Jesus? Well, he reigns forever. As God, he will never die. The Queen reigns. Yes, she's reigned 70 years. How long will she reign? We don't know. But God the King, Jesus the King, reigns forever. That's in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. Here is God speaking to his Son, Jesus, And he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Your reign will never end. It's forever and ever. And then as you look down in this chapter, verse 10, it's a quotation from Psalm 102. You, Lord, speaking of Jesus, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish. This world is coming to an end. But you remain. They will all wear out like an old garment, and you'll, like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The whole world is going to be wrapped up and changed. And out of it will be a new creation. But look, you look at this world. It seems so stable. It seems never ending. But it's going to be wrapped up. But Jesus the King remains forever. Nothing can stop him reigning. Nothing can wrap him up. He'll never be out of date. He'll never be past his sell-by date. He reigns, and he reigns, and he reigns, and he's going to reign for all eternity. He has reigned. He is reigning, and he will reign for all eternity. It's interesting that verse 10, 11 is a quotation from Psalm 102. And in Psalm 102, the psalmist is talking about God, Jehovah, the Father. Here in Hebrews, the writer of the Hebrews is writing about Jesus. He is God. Psalm 102, God is everlasting. God will never cease to exist or reign. Hebrews 1, it's Jesus the King who will never cease to reign and who will never cease to be. He will always be there. So Jesus reigns forever. And we are told here, so firstly, Queen Elizabeth was born. Jesus, as God the King, was never born. Queen Elizabeth will die. But Jesus the King will never die. He reigns forever. A third thought here is that Queen Elizabeth wore a crown and sat on a throne at her coronation. We saw bits of that the other day, the program all about Elizabeth, photographs and movie things that the royal family had taken of one another, and then the official photos of the coronation, and there she was sitting on her throne with her crown. Well, in the book of Revelation we read this about Jesus the King. On Jesus' head are many diadems. The queen had one crown. It looked pretty heavy. But the Lord Jesus has many diadems, many crowns. And what does that mean? Well, in the context of Revelation 19, it's talking about Christ being the conqueror, the victor. And it talks about him defeating Satan. And all of his allies and all those who have served Satan will be thrown down and defeated by Jesus the King, who wears the many diadems, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as this book of Revelation says. And then when we come back to Hebrews, our Savior, our King, is on a throne. The Queen was on a throne. What does Hebrews 1 say? But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. It's a king who sits on a throne. And he will sit there, as we have said, forever and ever. And it's a throne that cannot be destroyed. The king on that throne can never be defeated. He can never be assassinated. He will never die. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And we ought to emphasize that it's God talking to his Son. The Lord Jesus, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. He is saying that you, my Son, are God. That is a good verse if you're in discussion with a Jehovah's Witness. Look, God says, Jehovah says to his Son, your throne is forever and ever. It's a throne on which he sits. And your throne, he says here, is forever and ever. And again, verse 3 emphasizes that he is God on a throne. He is the radiance and glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds all things by the word of his power. And then the verse goes on, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he's there with God, at the right hand of God. The place, the right hand, was the place of authority and power. And that's where Jesus is, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He sat down, having purified sin, having died once for all to deal with sin, to take our sins upon himself. He accomplished that and then sat down. My work is done. So he sits down. Where does he sit? At the throne of God, the right hand of God's majesty. It's a wonderful verse, isn't it? The end of verse 3. It tells us that there's nothing you have to do to earn God's favor. You cannot buy a ticket into heaven. You cannot earn your brownie points and God will be pleased with you and pat you on the head. Nothing. You have to do nothing but come to God on the throne through Jesus Christ, who has died once for all on a cross for us. That's the gospel. That's the message we must believe. And this is the Savior we need. The Lord Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the angels, we read, fall down to worship him who is on the throne. Verse 6, let all God's angels worship him. And they fall down in adoration. And in the book of Revelation chapter 5, we read of thousands upon thousands of angels and all of the elect of God in heaven worshipping the Lord Jesus, who's called the Lamb. Worthy, oh, you are you. Worthy is the Lamb to receive our honor and glory and power and so on. The redeemed are singing his praises forever and ever. Will you be there? Will you be around the throne? We'll be singing his praises with all the people of God and all the angels. We read in Isaiah 6 of angels worshipping Jesus. The seraphim, a special high order of angels, crying out, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah sees the king on a throne. And John 12 tells us that Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He's on a throne, worshipped by angels. And we should worship him too. And if we're Christians, we will worship him forever and ever. Hebrews 4 talks about the throne on which our Savior sits, the King. It's a throne of grace. The end of Hebrews 4, we read these words. We read about the Lord Jesus touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And then in Hebrews 4, the very end of the chapter, we read this. Because He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities in heaven. We read this: Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A throne, a king. We may be frightened. How can I go to a king on a throne? But it's a throne of grace, forgiveness, mercy, compassion, a throne of grace to which you may go with all your guilt and your sin and all your sorrows and all of your troubles. Come to this throne, the throne of grace. Why should I go? That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. 24/7, every day, day or night of the year, you may go directly to God, to Jesus the King, and find mercy and grace. I assume that Prince Charles can walk into Buckingham Palace without an appointment. I assume he can ring his mother, Mummy, as he called her in speech, any time. I say, oh, hello, Charles. Well, we can't walk into the palace whenever we feel like it, can we? We'd be stopped at the gates. And what you up to, mate? We'd get arrested, probably. But here is a throne to which you can go any time, day or night, whoever you are, whatever your circumstances, whatever your age, come to the throne of grace. He is the King on our throne. So Queen Elizabeth was born. Jesus, as God the King, was never born. The Queen will die, but our King reigns forever. The Queen wore a crown and sat on a throne. Jesus has many thrones. He sits on a throne. A throne of sovereignty, yes, but a throne of grace. But fourthly, Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth, is the Queen of the United Kingdom, England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and the Queen of 14 Commonwealth countries. Now, I can't tell you all the countries, but if you do what I did, Google your internet, it'll bring up, just put in Queen Elizabeth, and it'll tell you all the 14 Commonwealth countries. You will really want to know, well, you do what I do, and go to your laptop or your computer and find out for yourself. So, she reigns. UK, Commonwealth. But Jesus, the King, rules the whole world. He has the whole world in his hands. Well, that's a song probably about God, but it's true of Jesus because he is God. He has the whole world in his hands. He rules the whole world. Ephesians 1, Paul writes these words, that Christ is far above all rule, all authority, and power, and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. All things are under his feet. So he is above every human ruler. Maybe the authority, power and dominion may also be a reference to evil spirits, angels, evil spirits, good angels, bad angels. He is above them all. He is the King of all the universe. Nothing whatever can happen without the knowledge of Christ, because he, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, have planned all things. Nothing can happen outside of the divine plans, the divine decrees of the triune God. In Philippians 2, we read that the Lord Jesus stooped so low, died on a cross. And because of his obedience to his Father, it says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. We respect our Queen, but we adore the divine King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this book of Hebrews, in chapter 1 and verse 13, we read these words. To which of the angels has God ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? So all of his enemies are going to be his footstool. Conquerors of old would put their feet on the neck of a king or a ruler, showing their supremacy, showing the helplessness and hopelessness of the conquered. All of Christ's enemies will be crushed beneath him. It's better now to repent and to worship him and to adore him than to be forced at the last day when the Savior comes, forced to acknowledge unwillingly that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, when you think of the sovereignty of God and Christ ruling and putting everybody under his feet, that maybe can be rather frightening. He controls everything. But then we draw great comfort from Romans 8, verse 28. You can quote it, no doubt. Just hope I can remember it. For we know that in all things, God works in all... Oh dear, I've forgotten the verse. We know that in all things, God works all things together for good to those who love him and to those who are called according to his mercy. It's probably reading different versions. But you know the great verse, don't you? So that means that whatever happens in my life, God is working that for my good, for my ultimate salvation. There is nothing in my life outside of his plan. There is nothing in my life that can rob me of his great love. Nothing whatever can happen that will prevent God bringing me into the glory of heaven and into the presence of the Lamb to worship him forever. Isn't that wonderful? This is the great practical benefit and comfort from realizing that Jesus is King above all kings, ruling the whole world. I've got one more point. The first is that Elizabeth was born. Jesus, God our King, was never born. The Queen will die, but our King will never die. Elizabeth wore a crown and sat on a throne. Christ is the great King with his crown and sits on a throne of sovereignty and grace. The Queen rules UK and the Commonwealth, but Christ the King rules the whole world. So what could be the fifth point? If you were preaching the sermon, what would be your fifth point? Well, it's this. I was born 1946 into the kingdom of Queen Elizabeth II. Some are born in other countries and come into our country, and some take on British citizenship and become citizens of the Queen. So it's by being born. My dad came back from the war. I was the celebration baby, and others followed, but I was the great celebration baby. My dad so pleased to see my mum. But we won't go into more of that. So how do we enter God's kingdom? By birth. Not a physical birth, a spiritual birth. Remember the story, Nicodemus, chapter John 3. Go home, read it. Jesus says, Nicodemus, a rabbi who knew the Old Testament scriptures, a rabbi. And Jesus says to him, you must be born again. What? to mean I've got to go back into my mother's womb? Now, don't be ridiculous, Nicodemus. That it can't be what he means, can it? No, Nicodemus, listen. You should know it. You know your scriptures. You should know this. It's in your Old Testament scriptures. You need a spiritual birth. You need God's life being given to you. You need this new birth. Without it, you're not in God's kingdom. Without the new birth, spiritual birth, you're not a Christian. You're not in God's kingdom now, and you will not see God's kingdom when you leave this world. You must come to God. Cry to him for his mercy to give you this new birth. In John 3, Jesus refers Nicodemus back to Numbers 21. Moses, the people of Israel, grumbling in the wilderness. And Moses is told by, God tells Moses, lift up a pole, a brass pole with a brass snake on it. And everyone who looks to the snake will be healed. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to be lifted up on a cross. And whoever looks to me crucified on a cross will be healed of the poison of sin. If you want to be born again, you've got to look to Christ crucified. Look to him alone. Not looking at yourself. Not looking at who you are, what you've achieved, what you hope to do. Look to Christ and Christ alone. And if you do that, you will be forgiven. If you look to Christ, it will be the evidence that you are indeed born again. That you have a spiritual birth. So, we've read in Hebrews 1 that angels worship Christ and angels serve him. Verse 7, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. And the last verse, are they not the angels, all ministering spirits, sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? They serve us. They serve God. They serve us in ways we do not fully understand. So angels worship Christ the King. Will you do that? Angels serve Christ the King. Will you do that? Let's pray. So our Lord God, we thank you then for this great letter to the Hebrews. And we thank you for some of the things we've drawn out of the chapter this evening. And again, we thank you for our Queen Elizabeth and her long reign. But we thank you for the greater King, the greater monarch, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that every knee to him shall bow. And we pray that now we will bow to him, that we will worship him, that we will willingly serve him, that we may acknowledge him as King in our lives, O God. And O God, we look forward to entering into his kingdom in heaven and seeing him face to face and singing forever that we are saved by grace. So hear us, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.